Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
So you may be seated. Won't you just turn to your neighbor and say, sure, I like that smile on your face. What a privilege to be part of a family and a spiritual community. I think more than ever, people out there are desperate for family and community and for real life and a real relationship. I mean, thank you for enthusiasm. Okay. I want to read from Revelation chapter 19. I've had, obviously, with working with students since a couple of years ago, had the privilege of doing lots of wedding ceremonies, and it's probably one of the moments when you get to really feel a part of God and a part of God's heart, that you understand how Jesus feels about His bride and how God, just especially when His children gets married, when God is so excited. And when God starts to say, hey, it's actually not the two of you getting together. It's actually me inviting you to something much greater. That's what marriage is about, I believe. It's about the purpose of God. It's about God reflecting a part of His glory in the earth. And I'm not going to talk about marriage today. We're going to talk about this community, this prophetic community, because what happened here this morning and what's been happening through people coming up here, doing the offering, and some people singing, there's something spiritual happening, and it's something, a part of our legacy, that sometimes we don't realize how precious the things is that brings us together. And I'm going to talk about a prophetic community, and I want to read from Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, you should actually read the scripture a little bit different. It says, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because there's an exclamation mark there. Okay, so we must actually read the scripture a bit different. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. See that you do not do that. Okay, so I am your fellow. That's just for everybody to be awake this morning. I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. Sometimes, especially as Christians and children of God, we forget where we're going. We forget why we're here. And right here in the middle of this marriage supper of the Lamb, the announcing, the writer falls sort of on his face. And then he says these words. He says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when we come together today, when we come together every morning with God, when we come in community in our families, then there's something God wants us to understand that, and I think all of us, we take it a bit for granted, just the presence of God, just the word of God, the direction that God gives us. And more than ever in this world that we live in, and especially in our nation, we need to have a revelation of the prophetic word of God and what binds us together. It's not just a couple of people on a Sunday morning that comes together here. It's actually God bringing the spirit of prophecy. Now, there's the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is sort of the individual, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that can speak encouragement and do a lot of things. But the spirit of prophecy is something much bigger. It's that thing in corporate worship that brings us together. Now, I need to tell you a story. Last year in June, we went up, I took a team up to India, and we sort of hiked up into the mountains to get to a lost tribe. There was actually three villages specifically that we reached, and And so the pastor there, Pastor Chuba, some of you have met him, he was here. He said a couple of years ago, like 8 or 9 years ago, the Lord said to him that there's a specific valley up here, right to the border of Tibet, where these tribes live. They're nomad tribes, shepherd tribes. So it's actually very weird. The two brothers will have one wife, because 6 months the one brother will be away, and then this brother will stay at home and fix the house and all that stuff, and then take the sheep up into the mountains. So it's really, really rural, very up there in the mountains. And he said for years he was praying, because he knew and he heard about this tribe, but there was no way he could get up into this tribe. So him and his wife and their Christian community, now they live in Missouri, which is right at the beginning of the Himalayas. And we in South Africa, we don't have mountains. We've got little hills. Okay, so don't call this a mountain. Go to Nepal and India, and then you look what mountains is, you know. And so he was praying right there in this place. And for a couple of years, they were praying. And they said, God, we don't have any contact with these nomad tribes up there, but we need to reach them for the gospel. And this guy is really an evangelist guy. He just goes wherever everybody else is afraid to go. And he said 3 years later, or 4 years later, one morning, 2 a.m., he woke up with sheep. The noise of sheep in his backyard. And so him and his wife, she's a medical doctor, and they're running a medical hospital, a Christian hospital there. And so as he went out, there was his whole backyard, now it's a big backyard there, was full of sheep. And here were these shepherd boys. And so he started to talk to them, and they've got a different dialect. And then he realized, but these are the people that they've been praying for years. They got lost in the mountains, and 6 or 7 days of walking brought them right to his back door. And so he started to relate with them, and then he said, okay, we need to go. We need to come to you. And so God gave them a lot of, over all these years of praying, God gave them a lot of scriptures over these tribes. And so last year in June, we actually went up there, and it was amazing. The Pastor Chuba gave us the words. And so we just had these scriptures that we wanted to speak over these tribes. And we drove up. It took us 5 days to travel to the north, and then another day and a half by bus up to this Hunky Moon Valley, one of the most beautiful valleys. But now we got there, and it started to rain in India. So what happened is they closed up, the government closed up the whole valley. So there was no way we could get in. Now we sort of arranged and practiced and everything, and exercised so that we could go up. Because when you hike, I think we hiked up for 80 kilometers, or back and forth 80 kilometers. But it's not like a 10 kilometers walk here. It's like uphill, up into the mountains. But now we're standing here. We arrive at this Hunky Moon Valley place, and all we have is the Word of God. All we can stand on is God said we must go, and God said we must reach this tribe. But it's closed. The government closed it down. So I remember the guys all in the bus, and the four of us, the leaders, we went into this little place, and there was this one guy just said, no, there's no way you're going to get in here. There is absolutely no, it's closed down. They're afraid of the rain and the mudslides and all of that stuff. And now we're sitting there 2.5 hours, and we just realized we have got nowhere else to go. We've planned to be here for 2 weeks. So now we're sitting in that little room, and we're thinking like, okay, God, you've got your word. But this guy obviously doesn't agree with your word, you know. And so I went out again a couple of times to the bus, and we just said, okay, pray. We need to pray, and we just need to say, God, if you said something, it's going to be done. 2.5 hours, and this one guy just gets more angry, and he just said, no way. And after about 2.5 hours of just praying, the guy stands up, and he says, now it's 12 o'clock at night. He says, I need to go for lunch now. It's like, okay, is that tomorrow's lunch or yesterday's lunch or last month's lunch? I don't know. But in any case, to make a long story short, he goes out. Now there's another guy, and we've tried to, now in these 2.5 hours, we try to phone the governor, we try to phone everybody, but there's just no way. And then another guy walks in, and he just stands there, he says, okay, if you're not allowed to drive in, but if you walk in, we can't keep you from not going in, but we're not going to take responsibility for you. I said, that's the open door. But now we've got generators, we've got stuff. And I just said, you say yes? He said, yes, if you walk in. But now it is crazy. It's up in the hills. It's 12 o'clock at night. So I run into the bus. I say, everybody get everything out of the bus. Walk. Okay, so now we've got backpacks, everything. And here we start to walk. The amazing thing is we walk in and about 100 meters around the corner, there's a guy standing there with a pickup truck. The guy that we prayed for earlier the day on our way there. And he says, I've been standing here waiting for you to come. So we put all our luggage, all our generators into the truck. There goes the truck. And 1 a.m. we start to hike. For 7 hours we start to hike. And I was thinking, like, God, isn't that amazing that if God says something, then he's already made provision for you. You just need to get there. Amen? But it started to happen a year before that when there were sheep in a back garden, when some people started to pray and say, hey, we need to reach those people up there. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we forget the words that God speaks over us. Sometimes we forget the voice of God and the promises of God. Why? Because we get so distracted. We get so focused on the wrong stuff. Or sometimes we just try to survive, but God speaks words over us, and that is why we need to be a prophetic community. That's why the scripture here says that, hey, blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's something that defines you. If you're a Christian here this morning, it must be the word of God, but not just the written word of God, trying to get into knowledge. It's the revelation word of God. That prophetic word of God that shapes you, that shapes me, that shapes us. And more than ever, you know, in this nation of ours, we need the prophetic word of God. We need to go back to what God has said, that this nation will be a breadbasket of Africa. We need to go and stand on those words because, you know, in Amos it said there was a famine for the word of God. There was no widespread revelation. And God wants you and I to live by revelation knowledge, not by just what we see in the natural, not by our circumstances. That does not determine you as a Christian. It does not determine me. It's the prophetic word of God. Now, prophetic isn't trying to be weird and the Lord speak, come henceforth and go thieth thereeth so that the Amalekites can be destroyeth into the nation. It's, sometimes it's just something very simple when God says, you're going to make it. Just that one word, and you hang on to that word. You stand on that word, and that's what's so beautiful about this. Now, there's a couple of things. When we talk about being a prophetic community, in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 9, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We need to learn, the first thing that I want to focus on, there's about 12 things, now 22 things, but lock the doors. Okay, the chicken is going to burn. No, we're not going to be that long. But Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 9, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say, with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Thank you. Let's read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Sure. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, if we want to make a difference on this campus and in this nation, we need to be a holy people, and that's what consecration is about. Consecrate everything in your life to God. Don't just go to work and take it for granted that God is going to be there. When we live in the place of consecration, it means that our heart is firstly devoted to him. He's our first love. We want to please him. I'm not just doing a work. I'm not just an accountant during the week. I'm not just a doctor. I'm here on a mission. I'm here passing through this life. This is not my home. And we need to remind ourselves in this crazy world that we're living. You need to say often, this is not my home. I am not staying here. I'm going somewhere. I'm on a way. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. And so when we start to consecrate and we learn to pray, you know, before you go to bed, pray over your night and say, God, I know my spirit is alive. My spirit doesn't go to sleep. You see, when we live in consecration, we honor God. He says, honor him, trust him. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in this environment that you and I live in, it's an unbelieving environment. It's an environment that makes you and I not believe in God's word, that wants to rely on our own understanding. Come on, we live in a town where intellect and intellectualism is put higher than the word of God. And God says, don't lean on your own understanding. Because you know when that thing goes wrong with that stuff, then you can't run to your university degree. How many of you know I studied B accounting? You know, when I started working my first year, I couldn't even staple properly. But I thought because I had a degree, I remember I told the story before. I put this big stapler, one of these type of industrial stapler, I put it through my finger. And I ran to the toilet and cried in the toilet because I didn't want anybody to know that this guy with a degree cannot even staple properly, you know. Because that piece of paper means nothing. It can actually just put you back in life because you don't understand what is valuable in life. I mean, nothing wrong with degrees, nothing wrong with those stuff. But I need to say that our intellect cannot save us. Our intellect doesn't make a difference in your life, Michael. Huh? Do you agree? Thank you for that agreement, okay? But a consecrated community, a community that lives holy before God, we're separate. The second thing that makes us a prophetic community is true love. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For you speaks in a tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. In Romans chapter 13, verse 7-8, render therefore to all due their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You know, sometimes in the charismatic church especially, there's a movement and a lot of people that are running after miracles. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to see miracles because it says you desire spiritual gifts. But you know what? It's always about what people don't say. And I know that for me, what I see in scripture is the key to the miraculous in your life is not a pursuit of the miraculous. It's a pursuit of compassion. To say to God, God, I want to have compassion in my heart because it's for people. It's people that must be set free. It's not, I don't want to see a miracle. I want people to be set free. And that's why the scripture that with Jesus, it says, and Jesus had compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And therefore he was moved by compassion. And then he healed them all. Because compassion brings you to a place of vulnerability. A place where you need to open yourself up so that the word of God, which is true, can come against the lies of what you say about yourself. And you can render to God's word. Isn't that amazing when God walks into Simon's life, when Jesus says, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter. You're no longer Simon, you're Peter. You're no longer Saul, you're Paul. Huh? God would sometimes give somebody another name. Because prophecy just simply means the ability to see the will of God. To foretell the will of God. Prophecy isn't just like, oh, try to be weird, the prophet is coming to town. It's just simply to see God's will. Not fortune telling, foretelling of the will of God. So when you and I have the ability to walk into somebody's life and say, God says this. I have a friend that says, when God pulls your file. How many of you had that happen to you? You're just coming to church, you know, and then God pulls your file today. And as a church, we need to value that. I must just check if there's not one of them here. But I've got a small group that I'm the small group leader here at the Western Province Rugby Institute. And there's a couple of big guys there, like huge guys, you know. Five of them sit the whole room, you know. So now on Wednesday we were talking, and it's amazing to see how these guys have grown. But And so now we're talking, and because we've got a good relationship now, so now they tell me how tense they are to come to church. And I say, no, why is that? They say, because they know they're going to need to change when they come to church. There's something in them that does not want to change, but they say every time when they embrace the Word of God, because it feels like when they come to church on Sundays, as if God speaks directly to them. God pulls their file. Yeah? And then you realize, like, why did God set up the whole service just for me? No, it's not just for you, it's for everybody, okay? But that's the beauty of prophecy. That's the beauty of speaking God's ways over somebody's life, speaking God's will. But it must happen in love. And that's why it says, render nobody anything. Don't just simply let love. It must be in an atmosphere. Because if we speak the truth outside of a context of love, it will be received as judgment. It will not be received. So with each other, in your community, in your small group, that's what we miscreate. Say, go on. Not a false love, not a feel-good sentimental love, but a love that we know, because I can trust other people around me, I can speak the truth, and I can love them. Amen? Can somebody say amen? Okay. The third thing, when we want to establish this prophetic community, is simply that we commit ourselves to build and not to break down. It says here in 1 Corinthians 14, but you prophesy speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edification means a structure to building, to confirm. Exhortation means importation or hortation or solace or entreaty. Now, most of us Afrikaans people haven't got a clue what those words mean. Neither do I, but you go to the dictionary. I just wanted to sound very intellectual. Comfort is consolation, okay? So edification, to exhort somebody, is actually to invite somebody, is to entreat somebody, to say, hey, come, we're going to do it together. So if your small group leader bugs you and says, come to small group, don't stay away. Don't be irritated by them. They're fulfilling scripture. They're exhorting you. Why? Because they know what is best for you. It's like some of you, I saw some parents coming in here this morning with all those chokakis. I said to one of the dads, I said, oh, you've come to rest at church this morning. I mean, so that the kids can just be there in the children's shirts for an hour. Like, I can just like have peace and quiet. Yeah. But we don't do it because we compelled to do it. We're doing it because why? We're exhorting each other. Because the devil loves to isolate you. The devil loves you to keep you out of community and keep you away from the Word of God. That's why the television is such a distraction. That's why the cell phone that we have is, we're creating generations that don't have the ability to be in the moment, to be in community. Because we just like 2 minutes and then we're focused on something else, 3 minutes, we're focusing on something else. We can't have a real relationship anymore. And that's why, more than ever, the prophetic voice of God will edify, will exhort, will comfort. But it's not always going to feel comfortable. Amen? Thank you for enthusiasm so early in the morning. Consolation, building up. And do you know what? And here I have to speak to us as South Africans, because we are masters at breaking down and criticizing. But if we want the voice of God, if we want revelation knowledge, if we want to walk by that, then we need to be builders. We need to commit ourselves and say, Lord, we don't want to have a critical environment all the time, because critical environment many times just comes and opens up a door for bitterness and offense. Why? Because then we have the wrong expectations. That's why people get offended with God and with the church. Do you know why? Because they have the wrong expectations. And because sometimes leaders preach the wrong gospel. We don't talk about suffering. We don't talk about dying, which was Jesus' main theme of the gospel, was repentance and dying. He says, you take up your cross, repent, die daily. That's at the center of the Christian life, is crucifixion. Thank you for that. Amen. Pastor Mac. Okay, I was waiting for that one. Okay, listen to this. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. For this reason I remind you to fan the flame of God, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. This is Paul writing to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you are very depressed and you're discouraged. There's a lot of stuff happening around you, but I remind you. I remind you. We need to remind each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to build each other up. We need to say, hey, come on, don't fall away. Come, let's go there. No, but I'm the spirit of delay is so heavy upon me today. And so I always encourage people, just get there. God is going to speak to you. Don't just drag yourself there even. But don't miss small group. Don't miss church. Don't miss the prophetic community that God has established around us. Because the devil works like he tries to isolate. And that's how, you know, the Bible says, Paul writes and he says, wolves, in those days, lots of wolves. I'm going to go away, he says to them. But then wolves are going to come in. They're going to look like shepherds, but they're going to be dressed like wolves. So, and how wolves work is wolves haven't got strength to attack you, but all they do is they isolate that one deer. They cut that deer off from the pack of deer, and then they chase them into the mountains. And then those wolves work two by two. For 3 or 4 days, they chase that one deer up into the mountains and make sure, what do they make sure? They make sure that that deer does not drink any water or eat anything. So but after 3 days, that deer collapses. Why? Because there's been no life coming in. And that deer is so tired. And some of us, that's how the devil works. Because the first thing we do is we withdraw. Because we try to fix ourselves, but you should not. In a prophetic community, we actually go and we run and we say, stand with me on the word of God. That's what's so beautiful, what Bianca said today about a brother. The first thing that we do naturally is we say, oh, let me fix this on my own. No. WhatsApp, all the people in your small group, in your district say, hey guys, pray, stand together. Let's focus together. And then the most powerful thing happens, the power of agreement. Where the Christians come together and they start to agree on the word of God. What has God said? What is God's word? We're going to go in. And that's so beautiful. I mean, we've all had those miracles, but you're not going to have those miracles on your own. And that's where we need to stand together. That's where we need to speak together. Because sometimes some of us are tired. Sometimes some of us are discouraged. Sometimes some of us need to climb mountains. Some of us are standing on the mountain and we can see where the others need to go. And then you just blow the trumpet and say, hey, come up here. This is the short route. But that's so beautiful when we live by the word of God, when we live by revelation. You know, later on, when Jesus confronted Peter and these guys, because now there were lots of rumors of who Jesus was. And Jesus asked them, who do the people say that I am? And they said, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. They've got lots of stuff that they say about you. And then Jesus said to them, turn around to Peter and says, Peter, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that amazing? After Jesus healed people, he always told them, don't tell anybody who I am. And here at the end of his ministry, he starts to ask Peter, he says, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Christ means anointed one. Christ means the one who lives by revelation of who the Father is. And then Jesus turns around and says, blessed are you. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this rock, it was not Peter, it was on the revelation knowledge that you live in as to who he is. On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall be loose in heaven. So he says there's going to be a dynamic of authority and life flowing out of one thing. Peter, because you can see who I am. Revelation knowledge. The prophetic word. Because there were lots of rumors. And today there's lots of people out there that says who Jesus is. Or who he is not. And then on a day like today, he would come to us as a church and say, okay, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God, not a dead God, but you're the anointed one. And I want to remind us, many of us, we need to go and polish off those words God has spoken over you, that He's spoken over your family. Because sometimes it's going to take persistence. Sometimes you stand there in a little hockey up there in the Himalayas. Everything is closed. The government has closed everything. But all you have is the Word of God. Your whole mind freaks out. Your whole emotion freaks out. Because you think, like, we've traveled here for 5 days and now everything is in vain. We've come here and now the last hurdle, the door is closed. And then all you have is you go up and you sit in the bus and you sit for 2.5 hours and say, God, this is what you have spoken. And because you have spoken this, we stand on that word. And then God turns hearts. God makes hardened hearts soft. Or sometimes God just removes somebody for lunch. Amen. Okay, the last thing I wanted to say, if we want to walk in this community, the prophetic community, then we need to walk in prayer and thanksgiving. Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Now I'm going to say something that may sound a bit harsh, but your prayer life is equal to whether you move by the prophetic or not, by revelation or not. It's whether you pray or not. And sometimes I get a bit tense when I look at the church in the West. There is no prayer. We cannot have revival if there is no prayer, if things are not birthed. But it's not something you can psych yourself up to say, oh, come and pray Wednesday morning at 6 because that's when we pray as a church together. You can come if you want to. But you know what? There's something that God wants to stir in your heart. But we cannot do it on the outward. It's just when you see it, when you see where God is going, when you see what He's doing over your life, when you see what He wants to do in your nation, in our nation, then you know what happens? Suddenly prayer kicks in. Suddenly you begin to cry out because you realize, hey, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb coming and the bride is making herself ready. And the prayers and the righteous acts of the saints are the things we can bring before His throne that prepares the bride for His coming. So we advance the coming of Christ through prayer and through reaching out to the lost. When our lives become an intercession, because prayer isn't just something you do in an hour a week. Prayer is who you are. Your life, you are the intercession. You come to stand in between the people and God and you start to intercede for them. Your whole life is a prayer to God. And that's why he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. But when you come with thanksgiving. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16 to 20. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. There's the whole sermon in one verse. Rejoice always. Pray without stopping. How can we do that? By praying in our spiritual language. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Now, we don't often talk about it, but we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know, I want to say this with a lot of respect, but the most religious people that I've seen in my life were charismatic people. Because sometimes as charismatic people, what we do is we look at more reformed type of people and traditional type of people and say, oh, they're religious. We're not. We have a relationship with Jesus. But you are religious when you do not practice what Scripture says, but it becomes a form of godliness and there's no power. So jumping up and down and lifting up your hands on a Sunday, you and I know that we can sing all these nice songs, but your head and your mind is way out there. You're not engaging God. So what are you doing? It's a religious ritual. And there's no heart in it. And that's why thanksgiving opens up the door, because when you're thankful, you begin to see how precious it is what God has done. Thanksgiving takes you away from being a religious form type of Christian to a place where you're so grateful, because you realize the most precious thing that you and I have is the presence of God. So it's not just a ritual. We don't say, y'all pray, but nobody prays at home. Y'all raise up your kids a godly way, but parents don't even pray with their kids at home. Don't even read the Bible anymore. See, then we're just as religious. And that's why the writer here urges and says, rejoice, always step into it. Don't be condemned. Just start. What is God saying to you now? Start to walk in it. What is God saying to you and me? And that's where celebration starts. That's where thanksgiving starts. That's why he says, rejoice always. Oh, so that means when it's going bad with me as well. When the devil knocks on the door, when the sickness wants to come, God says, rejoice in it. He doesn't send the sickness. But he gives us a couple of keys on how to break that religious stronghold and become a prophetic people. The people that can say, this is what God is saying. And if ever there was a time when the church, especially in the West, needs to stand up and say, this is the word of God. This is now the time for us to wake up out of our slumber, out of our sleep. You know, I love it when Jesus comes. I'm going to end off with this. You know, the Bible says, because you know what? For 400 years before Christ came, there was no revelation. There was no prophets that stood up. It was dead silent. The people were, the nations were in a very bad state. And then the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his word. I love that about God, because God's word is never going to return void to him. It's going to accomplish, he says, what he sent it for. But yet in the midst of one of the most darkest eras of the world since creation, no prophets are standing up. The prophets have been stoned, have been killed. They're just running away, all of them dead silent. And in the fullness of time, God sends forth his, the Bible doesn't say son, his word. Those three will remain. The Father, the Bible says, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So God loves to send forth his word. And that's where you and I come in. That's where the prophetic community comes in. We become the word made flesh to the people around us. We become the word made flesh to this nation. And it starts in our prayer life. It starts in the way we handle people here in the church, how we speak about them, speak over them, speak God's word. When we come together in small group, we take hands and we say, all we have is the word of God and the presence of God, but we're going to stick together. We're going to exhort each other. We're going to edify each other. We're going to say, hey, don't be discouraged. Don't go there. Just let's focus. Let's focus. That's what's supposed to happen in our lives. But the devil wants to discourage us. The devil wants you to look at your circumstances out there and say, oh, Khona, run away. This nation is going crazy. But that's when God sends his forth his word. So will you stand with me this morning as we're gonna pray for each other, and we're going to trust God to be just responding. And maybe you're visiting here today and you think like, well, you know, I want to say again today, today is not a religious exercise. Today isn't just something we're doing on the outside. We're not trying to psych ourselves up. But we need to come to our spiritual inheritance. You and I need to stand up sometimes and say to the devil, back off, devil. This is what God says. And I'm not talking about moving in presumption, because some people move in presumption. They just assume. But it's in those that prayer life where you stand before God and all you have is you just hang on to Him. All you have is you can just stand on what He has said. Or you can hang on and say, God, You've said this. You've spoken over this town and over this nation that we will raise up Christian leaders. While everybody on this campus is going crazy, God has got a word. My question is, what is God's word for you this morning and what is God's word over your family? That's so beautiful when those kids were in front and Mac was praying over each one of them and said, this is what God says. This is what they will become. Hello. Hello. Is anybody out there? You know, Tani Helen Africa that was here, walked up to me. I'll never forget it. Every time I give her a hug, she's in Durbanville now, but she prayed. While I was in India, lying half dead, in a semi-coma, Tani Helen Africa took off the morning and she prayed for 3 hours. You shall live and not die. After 3 hours of lying there in the bathroom, I heard these words, you shall live and not die. I stood up from that bathroom, healed instantly. Coming back 3 weeks later, Tani Helen walked up there from the back. She came up to the front. She says, Pastor Sias, I want to just ask you, does these words mean anything to you? You shall live and not die. Because the Holy Spirit told me that morning to wake up, cancel all my appointments, and pray this over your life. You shall live and not die. You see, every time I saw Tani Helen after that in church, I walked to Tani Helen, gave her a hug, and said, Tani Helen, I'm living because of you and because of Christ. Because there's one old Tani that was faithful and realized, speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. But you know what the devil is trying to con you, sir? He's trying to get you out of the word of God, not believing it anymore, that we just become another unbelieving generation. Ladies, he's telling you, he's the father of lies. I'm telling you, don't believe those lies. Don't believe what the devil says and what your circumstances say. Believe what God says. But you need to get up there. You need to say, well, like Abraham, God says to Abraham, come out, Abraham, from where you are, because I cannot speak to you there in that place of idolatry. Come, I want to speak to you. Look up to the stars, Abraham. In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you and I are standing here today because of a promise God made to Abraham, the word of God, while Abraham was in his darkest moment of idol worship. So I'm gonna ask you to do something bold. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with the word where you can say this is the day of salvation. Or maybe you've backslidden. He's not your first love. You don't have the wedding gown on. Because there's a day when He's coming. There's a day, blessed is he who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a day when all of this is going to pass away. That's that hope. That's that prophetic word. That's that thing, that blossom that opens up, that says there's a fruit coming. Something is coming. It's the prophetic. And we have it. We have the Holy Spirit. But don't walk away from your birthright. Christ is calling His church to come closer to Him now. Don't run away. Don't try and fix yourself. Don't try and be perfect. Come. Come. The bride is making herself ready. The bride is ridding herself from all the lies. The bride is throwing off all the false wedding garments. All the second-hand stuff. The bride only has eyes for Him. And they're just listening for His word. God, You say it. We'll be obedient to it. There's some of us this morning that have lost focus. we are tired spiritually because we run on our own steam. We try to fix ourselves. And if I would walk up to you straight this morning and I'd say, what is God's word for you now? What is God's word for us now as a church? Then most people would just say, I'm just a nice Christian. I'm just trying to make it through this life. Paul writes to Timothy and says, fight the good warfare with the words that have been spoken over you, Timothy. You're going to need it as a sword. You're going to need it when the devil comes knocking on the door. You need the word of God. You need the prophetic revelation of who he is. The Holy Spirit is here and Jesus is here. You know, when you walk into the Middle East and you come to a little 9-year-old boy that every day from 2 a.m. till 7 a.m. he sits under the table in their kitchen with the tablecloth hanging to the floor with a little torch reading the Bible because Jesus appeared to him in a dream. And he says, once I've seen Jesus, how can I not walk and rely on his word? And for 3 years then Iran is praying, saying, Jesus, I'm living for you. I've seen you. See, he doesn't need a motivational talk to read the Bible. He doesn't need a motivational inspiration thing like, these are the 10 steps to read the Bible better, because he's seen. Prophecy is to see God, to speak his will. And there's some of us, we've just lost that because of storms, because of turmoil. But I want to call you back. I believe God urges me to call us back as the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Come and make yourself ready. So if you've lost that thing, you've lost that, you're not running on the word of God, you're running on your own steam, or you're just tired, I want you to come to the front and we're going to anoint you. I want to especially talk to husbands, leaders of homes here. You're not praying anymore. You're just going through. You're just surviving. You cannot continue like that. You need to be the leader. You need to be the spiritual leader. I need to be the spiritual leader. If God is speaking to you today, you've lost just that ability to see, then we're going to take some oil and we're going to anoint you. And we're going to just come in agreement. And in this week, we're going to encourage each other. I want you to really pray for words for the people in your small group. Just ask God, God, what are you saying to Peter? And what are you saying to John? What is your word to them? And then we test the words. We're not just running around trying to assume stuff, but we need to live by the word of God. And then you come to small group with the word of God and say, God, this is what you're saying. It's so beautiful. Gavin and Andre, this morning, they just came. Andre came with a word and it's, he says, God spoke to me about this. And he read the scripture to me and it confirms exactly what I'm saying today. I'm saying, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that this is what you want to do. And you've already spoken it to somebody else before we came here. That's how the church of Jesus Christ needs to operate. Oil in the lamps in the last days. So if God is speaking to you, sir, I know this is a bit of a tough one, but I want you to come out quickly. Just come, as we're gonna sing this song and just consecrate ourselves. That's where it starts. Just say, God, here I am. I don't want to walk away. There's some of you, you are so tired spiritually. You are so discouraged. And the Lord just says, come. Come and buy with money that you don't have. Come and transact. He says, I want to give you a white robe and I want to give you eye salve to see. That's what he does. Then he opens up, he lifts the veils, he lifts up the stuff that blinds us, so that we don't live by what happens out there, we live by what we see. We shall walk by faith, we shall not walk by sight. I want you to come, sir. I want you to come, lady. I want you to come. We're going to just take oil and we're going to just pray it over you. You're in a desperate place, you're in a wilderness season of your life, and you just feel like, God, you need to send your word to me. Like rain, let it be like rain in a dry place. Then that's for you today. I'm putting a bit of pressure on because there's some of us that are really hanging on to this, but I want you to come. If God is speaking to you today, I want you to come, because we need to humble ourselves. It's not about having a lot of people in front. It's just about being obedient. To say, God, I realize where I'm at. I can't live here anymore. I want to see. I want to walk in that place. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not spirit-filled. And you like to be spirit-filled. Oh, what a moment when you respond to the Holy Spirit taking control of your being. So we're not going to talk in here. We're going to start to sing a song. And it's got nothing to do with you. It's just your response to His invitation. He's prepared the wedding supper of the Lamb. He's coming back. And there's a place for you at His table. There's a place when you and I just respond. God is going to begin to give you dreams. There's a lady here, you've been dreaming a lot. But that was like 15 years ago. And God says, you made vows and you said, no, no, I can't go there anymore. I must have a more balanced life. I must be more like this. I must be more. Those vows kill us. It destroys us. It takes us out of the prophetic revelation of who Christ is. But when the Holy Spirit comes, just in a moment, say, sorry, God, I grieved you. Sorry, I quenched you. Sorry, I walked away from my birthright. I traded it for other stuff, the car that I drive or the money that I have or the house that I live or even my children. God, I don't want to walk out of this place without your prophetic revelation. You are Jesus. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Father, we pray this morning. We pray for veils to lift. We pray, Father, for a strengthening. We pray for a focus, Father. We pray, Father, that everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, will disappear. It will fade away. Father, thank you for opening up spiritual eyes this morning. Thank you, Father, for opening up spiritual ears this morning. Thank you, Father. We need some small group leaders to just come and pray with us here in front. We're gonna just sing a song and take some time. If you want to sit down or just get a place, don't walk out here. Just say, oh, yeah, you know. If there's no thanksgiving in your life, then, hey, start to thank God this morning. Say, God, I want to break this critical thing over my life.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.